This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company PC, certified public accountants helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.
Good morning. This is the KBOO Morning News for Friday, October 20th, 2006. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Jake Wallner. Coming up on this morning's newscast, voter approval of Measure 48 would be disastrous for the University of Oregon.
An Ohio lawsuit orders the reinstatement of the rights of hundreds of thousands of purged Democratic voters, and Sri Lanka's Tamil Tigers agree to attend peace talks after a bloody week that left 250 dead.
Today's Portland area weather, mostly cloudy, then partly sunny late in the morning, then mostly sunny, highs near 65. Tonight, clear, areas of fog, lows 40 to 45, light winds near the Columbia Gorge, wind becoming east 15 to 20 miles per hour and gusty.
The Oregon Supreme Court upheld a voter-passed law yesterday that requires a criminal conviction before police can seize and sell property tied to illegal activity. The justices split 4-3 in overturning a lower court ruling that said the measure adopted in 2000 made too many constitutional changes to be rolled into a single ballot measure. Before the measure passed, police were able to use civil courts to seek forfeiture of money and property believed to have been obtained in criminal activity, such as drug buys or purchased with the proceeds of criminal activity. But civil liberties groups objected, saying police could take property even if its owner never was convicted of a crime and without proving their case by the high standard required in criminal trials. The 2000 law, known as Measure 3, raised the bar requiring police to get a criminal conviction before they could pursue a forfeiture. It also tightened the rules on what is subject to forfeiture, effectively slashing the amounts police could claim and cutting off a major source of funding for narcotics investigations.
Measure 44 would expand eligibility in the state's existing prescription drug discount program to include all uninsured Oregonians, and it wouldn't cost taxpayers a dime. That bigger group of consumers should give the state better bargaining power when negotiating with drug companies, backers say. No organized opposition to the measure has emerged, and it's something even rival gubernatorial candidates Ted Kulongoski and Ron Saxton can agree on. Even the Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers Association, which helped to scuttle a similar bill before the 2005 legislature, according to chief sponsor Senator Bill Morissette, is sitting on its hands. In a statement, PHRMA Senior Vice President Ken Johnson said his organization shares Oregon's commitment to helping low-income and uninsured patients better afford their prescription medicine. This from the Eugene Register-Guard.
Abortion opponents are hoping to plant their flag on the left coast in November with parental notification measures on the ballot in both Oregon and California. Oregon, Washington, and California make up one of only two clusters of neighboring states that place virtually no restrictions on abortion. The other cluster consists of Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and New York. The three West Coast states have no bans on late-term abortions, pay for most medically necessary abortions for public employees, and do not require doctors to give women information on topics such as the potential psychological effects of abortion or the pain a fetus might suffer. Voters in Oregon and California have rejected parental notification measures in the past, and abortion rights advocates say they can be persuaded to do so again. Both proposals would require doctors to notify parents in writing if their under 18-year-old daughters are seeking an abortion. In Oregon, any girl younger than 15 needs parental permission for any medical procedure. Early polls suggest that parental notification is on its way to passing.
With midterm elections just a few weeks away, voters are preparing to cast their votes on November 7th. Becca Bartleson spoke with John Kaufman, the director of elections for Multnomah County, Wednesday morning. They discussed voter registration and turnout in a county with a population exceeding 672,000 people.
If you could give me any statistical information on Multnomah County voting, like, for example, how many eligible voters we have?
At the moment, we have 386,875 registered voters in Multnomah County.
Do you have any idea what the turnout was for the last election?
The last gubernatorial election, it was 67.5% in 2002. 2004, we were 85%. That was a presidential election. It's always bigger than, and in fact, we had more registered voters in November 2004 than we have now. There was such a huge drive, and we have a lot of moving that takes place. Since the 2004 general election, Oregon has developed a statewide centralized voter registration system. So in the process of switching over to that system, we've been able to eliminate a lot of duplicate registrations and things like that. So our numbers right now, we have 23,000 more registered voters than we had at the last gubernatorial in 2002. We also have 15,000 more than we actually had at the primary in May. So we've been adding a lot of people. And also, the fact that we have a lot more registered voters doesn't necessarily mean there'll be a bigger turnout. You know, you can get people registered, but they have to be convinced on their own to return their ballot. The ballots will go out on October 20th, so voters have more than 2 weeks to decide how they're going to vote, and they know exactly what is on their ballot. And then the ballots must be returned to our office by 8 p.m. November 7th.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add that you think might be important for people to hear about?
The other thing is, the deadline yesterday was really a deadline only for people who have never been registered in Oregon before. It is still possible for someone who needs to update their registration because they've moved somewhere within Oregon to still be able to do that up to and including Election Day. The deadline yesterday does not apply to updates.
That was John Kaufman, the Director of Elections for Multnomah County. I'm Becca Bartleson, KBOO News.
Voter approval of the budget limiting Measure 48 could prompt the University of Oregon and possibly other state universities to ask for the legislative equivalent of a divorce from the state to avoid what could be a radical cut in the number of students it could enroll. U of O President Dave Frommeyer said that if the measure passes, he may ask that the university be converted to a public corporation, a legal status that would sever most bureaucratic and operational ties with the state. More importantly, it presumably would exempt the university from the spending caps that Measure 48 would impose. Measure 48 would amend the state constitution to limit the growth in state spending to the percentage increase in state population plus inflation. It would force an immediate state budget cut of almost $3 billion and leave the state $5 billion short of its expected spending needs in the next biennium. That, Frommeyer said, would be a disaster for the University of Oregon and the entire Oregon University system because the measure appears to cap all revenues, not just state appropriations, leaving universities unable to make up for state cuts. This from the Eugene Register Guard. And now we're going to talk about not cutting funds. We're talking about raising funds. Specifically, we want to talk about membership. You know how important it is to have news like this on the air. That's why you've tuned in. You've got lots and lots of choices, and you listen to KBOO. It's people like you. It's you as an individual who's made a decision to call that number, 503-232-8818, or 1-877-500-5266. You as an individual, if not now, when? This is the time for you to make that decision. New members are what keep us alive and kicking. That's what keeps us going. We are Radio Free Cascadia, and you are the person that makes the difference because you call that number, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. Let's talk to the membership room.
Well, here in the membership room, I am Bill.
I'm Abe.
The Magnificent Abe, because hey, the Bill Magnificent Abe. Joe Uris will be here, right?
No, I think Joe won't be here.
He won't?
He won't be.
He was here just a moment ago.
I know.
But see, there's two let's, of us enough of then, Joe. Yeah. 503-232-8818. And out of town, 1-877-500-5266. Another thing I want to mention about, being alive and kicking. On the other hand, we are low in bureaucracy here at KBOO. We have 10 full-time paid staff members. And the rest of us are volunteers, about 450 of us. And we come in here because we love the station, because we'd want to do our part to keep it going. But we need you to do your part. And once again, that's calling those phone numbers, 503-232-8818. Those are the numbers that are not being dialed as we speak. 1-877-500-5266. Be the first on your block to go over to your phone and poke at those numbers with your index finger or your nose, your choice.
Yeah, if you're wondering how much of our budget goes to administrative expenses, the answer is not very much at all. What does cost money around here is keeping all the bells and whistles humming,
hey,
the
just
wheels turning.
Don't smother me with details, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Not very much at all.
Not very much at
all. Okay.
Yeah, so really, it's up to you, really. The stuff that keeps going here, the transmitter, everything else, that's what we need your help on.
And then, of course, and then we could keep going if we want to, or we give it back to the news, and here comes the news. It's so wonderful.
On November 7th of this year, voters in Nevada will get to choose if they want marijuana to become legalized. The maximum legally an adult could carry on them would be 1 ounce. The bill, if passed, would allow states to put up harsher punishments if one was caught selling the drug to minors. Also, if one were to drive on marijuana, the punishments would be more severe. The state would then also allow the setup of government-regulated shops where one could buy legal pot. The state would put a $45 excess tax on an ounce. This would lead to some $28 million a year in extra money for the state. Chris?
Ohio voting rights activist and attorney Bob Petrakis says the Ohio elections may have already been won, responding to reports of massive voter purges in Democratic precincts. Petrakis told Op-Ed News, quote, essentially, by purging these rolls, the Republicans, by shrinking the electorate, have already won in Ohio. They can't win, which is what the polls show among registered voters. The way to win is to use their nuclear option to target black voters, young voters, and the working poor by purging them so they can't vote. Reports indicate that starting as early as shortly after the 2004 presidential elections, hundreds of thousands of voters were sent notifications that they'd be purged from the eligible voter lists if they did not respond to the letter. But reportedly, the letter was designed to be easily overlooked, perhaps treated as junk mail. Failure to send in a response caused the voter to be removed from the voting poll. The voter's role. According to Petrakis, however, the Help America Vote Act requires centrally maintained voter records, which would probably have been kept by Secretary of State Ken Blackwell. Petrakis theorizes that the voter records were probably purged from the Secretary of State's office because Harvard mandates a centrally located database. This from Op-Ed News. Jake?
An international human rights activist was unable to collect an award from the Institute of Policy Studies in Washington because the U.S. has him on a no-fly list and labels him a terrorist threat, despite previously being cleared by an inquiry. Canadian Maher Arar was imprisoned and tortured after being sent by the U.S. to a prison in Syria for 10 months. The U.S. authorities picked him up during a stopover while flying home to Canada after a vacation in 2002. He and his wife was wrongly accused of being extremists and having ties with Al-Qaeda, although the authorities had no evidence of this. He was the victim of U.S. rendition and was taken by force to Syria via Jordan.
A federal judge has ordered the Bush administration to release information about who visited Vice President Dick Cheney's office and personal residence. The order could spark a late election season debate over lobbyists' White House access. The Washington Post asked for 2 years of White House visitor logs in June, but the Secret Service refused to process the request. The government attorneys called it a fishing expedition into the most sensitive details of the vice presidency. A lawsuit over similar records revealed last month that Republican activist Grover Norquist and Ralph Reed, key figures in the Jack Abramoff lobbying scandal, landed more than 100 meetings inside the Bush White House. This from the Washington Post.
The Al Jazeera Network is considering taking legal action against former British Home Secretary David Blunkett after he described the network as an enemy propaganda mechanism and advised Tony Blair to bomb the television transmitter in the Iraqi capital. Just 2 weeks after his call to bomb the network in Iraq, an American aircraft leveled the station's Baghdad bureau in April 2003, which also led to the death of an Al Jazeera reporter, Tariq Ayoub. According to a statement, Al Jazeera is outraged at such an attitude towards free press. Editor-in-Chief Ahmed Al-Sheikh said the action was pure terrorism, and that while Al Jazeera showed war realities, other channels covered the cosmetics. Chris?
A congressional report out this week suggests that Venezuela is emerging as a, quote, potential hub of terrorism, unquote, in the Americas. Some U.S. officials say that Venezuela is providing support, including identity documents, that could prove useful to radical Islamic groups. The report warns of an ever-present threat of terrorist infiltration over the southwest border. The document appeared 3 weeks before the November 7th U.S. congressional elections and amid heated debate over how to deal with the estimated 11.5 undocumented migrants in the United States and how to stop more from entering across the southern border. This from Agence France-Presse.
Sri Lanka's Tamil Tiger rebels agreed to attend peace talks with the government this month in a breakthrough announcement after a week of bloody attacks left over 250 dead. The Rebel Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam, or LTTE, told Norwegian peace broker John Hansen Bauer they will shortly name a team of negotiators to attend the October 28 and 29th talks in Switzerland. The rebel statement follows days of negotiations via Norway's envoys, punctuated by devastating acts of violence. This from Agence France-Presse.
And now, are we going to a pledge break? No, we have another story, excuse me. The Oaxaca Education Union is holding consultation sessions on the return to classes, which is subject to the assessment of the senatorial ruling over the elimination of powers in the Mexican state. Educators will collect criteria to determine whether to accept or not the proposals by the Secretariat of Government. The union's demands are centered on the assignation of $17 million for salary hikes. Among other complaints, teachers also want political, economic autonomy, more labor hours, scholarships for their children, plus funds for strengthening of programs to support the social educative needs of the students. This from Prensa Latina. And now we are going to go to the membership room and find out how we are doing. Bill and Gabe.
Bill and Abe.
Well, let's see. Abe, excuse me. Not here at the moment. I think we had a question about our schedule, but what's important is not who's here, but what's here. And what's here is Lisa, who is renewing from Oregon City. Thank you very much.
Hooray for Lisa.
Indeed. And
what's the number to call?
Yes. We are talking about a total of $240 that we're trying to raise for the news segment, and we need another $140 to get there.
And to do that, pick up the phone and call 503-232-8818 in the local area and let us know that you're listening and you can hear us loud and clear.
Indeed.
If you're outside the local area,
it would be 1-877-500-5266. Remember,
but wherever you are, you as an individual are the key to getting this stuff on the air. You are the vital key element. If you don't do this, who else is going to do it?
Not me, certainly.
You really need to stand up for what you believe in. If you are an activist, if you think that you have activist progressive credentials, then this is the most important step that you can possibly take. If you're already a member, then you might consider increasing your membership. If you're a membership member at the $5 a month, that's a $60 membership, you might consider increasing your membership to $120 a month. It's only $5 more. If you add $5, another $5, it makes very, very little difference. But when you consider what you stand to lose, if we are not able to put this kind of broadcasting, news, public affairs, music, all kinds of things, even radio, theater, if we don't get that on the air, then where are we? It's people like you, an individual who says, that's it, I've had it, I want to keep Radio Free Cascadia alive and well. Call us now at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266.
I'll tell you, I'm just up to here, and you out there in listening to me on the radio can see exactly how far up that is. And I want you to call 503-232-8818 and or 1-877-500-5266 and lower that level from here to down there.
Are you mad as hell and you're not going to take it anymore?
Good. Well, at least I'm not going to take it anymore.
This is for you. And you are the one that makes all the difference.
Me?
You, the listener out there, you, Bill, and people in the membership room, you make the difference. You're critical. You're key to this endeavor of ours. Call us at 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. This morning, the co-anchor is Jake Wallner, who has come to KBOO, moved by something political, political responsibility. Jake, tell us why, how'd you get involved with KBOO?
I love the community of KBOO, and I needed to do my part. So after I called the phone number, 503-232-8818, they invited me to come down and volunteer and become a part of the wonderful community down here. And that's what I did, and that's what we're inviting you to do, is to pick up the phone and call 1-877-500-5266. If you're stuck at your desk at work, you can go onto our website. We have all sorts of really cool things there, and that's kboo.fm. And click on the Join Now button.
And find out what kinds of really cool... I haven't seen what the cool thank you gifts are, but apparently on the website... there are some pretty cool thank you gifts, but you don't find out what those are unless you. I'm a member. My horses are all members. My dog is a member. My chicken is also a member. All of us are members of the radio station. Why not buy a gift membership for somebody like, how about Rupert Murdoch? I need somebody out there, one individual who's smart and has a sense of humor, however twisted, to call in right now. Call that number, 503-232-8818, and get a gift subscription to KBOO for Rupert Murdoch. And I think we have to go back to the news pretty soon. Okay, membership room, we need to hear the phones ringing, so they're going to get, they're going to get disgruntled.
Let's give that number one last time.
We want them to stay gruntled. 503-232-8818. Or 1-877-500-5266.
And back to the news. The organizing committee of the 24th International Havana Fair confirmed the attendance of 1,000-plus companies from 43 countries at Expo Cuba from October 30th to November 4th. This fair's 87 stands will surpass the 2005 edition, despite the intensification of the blockade, said Chairman Abraham Masiques, who noted an additional concomitant expansion of space. The General Director of Havana Convention Center said attendance by 20 chambers of commerce showed unanimous rejection of the U.S. blockade. This from Prensa Latina.
Following hints U.S. troops may remain in Iraq for years, the United States is reportedly building a massive military base at Erbil in the Kurdish northern Iraq. Companies close to the Turkish army are providing technical material for the bases, with container loads of building supplies being transported into northern Iraq through the Abur border gate crossing. Operations currently carried out from the U.S. military base and airfield at Incirlik in southern Turkey will reportedly be transferred to the Erbil base upon its completion. This according to United Press International.
The Russian leadership has been playing down the reaction to President Putin's remarks concerning his counterpart in Israel, who is currently accused of raping several members of his staff. Putin was heard to say to Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert at a Moscow press conference, "What a mighty man he turns out to be. He raped 10 women. I would never have expected this from him. He surprised us all. We all envy him." The remarks were overheard by Russian journalist Andrei Kolesnikov after the microphone Putin was using was turned off. A Kremlin spokesman admitted the allegations, but added that the context was lost in translation.
Whoops. Scientists are boldly going where only fiction has gone before to develop a cloak of invisibility. In this first successful experiment, researchers from the United States and England were able to cloak a copper cylinder. It's like a mirage where heat causes the bending of light rays and cloaks the road ahead behind an image of the sky. For their first attempt, the researchers designed a cloak that prevents microwaves from detecting objects like light and radar waves. Microwaves usually bounce off objects, making them visible to instruments and creating a shadow that can be detected. Cloaking used special materials to deflect radar or light or other waves around an object, like water flowing around a smooth rock in a stream. But it differs from stealth technology, which does not make an aircraft invisible, but reduces the cross-section available to radar. The new work points the way for an improved version that could hide people and objects from visible light.
Bees, bats, and other vital pollinators are declining across North America, placing crops and other plants at risk. According to a new report by the National Research Council, shortages of pollinators already exist, and continued decreases in wild populations could disrupt ecosystems and agricultural production. Pollinators are vital to the environment as they spread pollen, enabling plant fertilization to occur. 3/4 of all flowering plants, including most food crops and some that provide fiber, drugs, and fuel, rely on pollinators for fertilization. The report sounds a specific warning for the honeybee, which are vital to U.S. agriculture, pollinating more than 90 commercially grown crops. It can take a massive amount of bees to ensure a crop is suitably pollinated. U.S. honeybee populations have declined at least 30% since the 1980s, when a non-native parasitic mite was introduced. This from the Environmental News Service.
And that was the KBOO Morning News for Friday, October 20th, 2006. Thanks for listening, and thank you for becoming a member. We really need to make our goal this morning. It's just moments to go. Your phone call right now is so important to us. 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266. This morning's newscast was edited by Becca Bartelson and Chris Andre. Our engineer is also Becca Bartelson, and the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Jake Wallner. This weekend's Portland area weather forecast is today mostly cloudy, then partly sunny late in the morning, mostly sunny, highs near 65. Tonight, clear, areas of fog, lows 40 to 45. Light wind near the Columbia Gorge, wind becoming east 15 to 20 miles per hour and gusty. Saturday, sunny, areas of fog briefly in the morning to west and south of Portland, highs 65 to 70, lows around 45. Sunday, mostly sunny, highs 65 to 70, mostly clear in the evening, then increasing low clouds, lows 40 to 45.
Coming up later today on KBOO, because of you, because of your membership, because you call that number, 503-232-8818 or 1-877-500-5266, because you did that.